My name is Sammy Young. I'm here as the student minister, and I'm really proud already of our representation, not only up here, but also those that have been praying for us, those that have been working on this Sunday, and we still have a little bit to go. This is us. This is our theme that we've been working on this and talking about this month, and today's word is collaboration. And as you can see, we've been collaborating with each other about how to bring about worship today. And you and I know we love a good collaboration. He-Man and She-Ra in that one crossover episode back in the 80s, the teams of Chicago Med, PD, and Fire all working together in crossover episodes, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and even if you want to put Young in there too, great collaborations. Tom Holland and anybody else, you know, that's going to be a great movie, a collaboration of actors. And even getting your peanut butter and your chocolate and your chocolate and your peanut butter to make Reese's back in the 70s was a good collaboration. But we want to say this is how we reflect collaboration in our membership and how good things can come out of that and how we reflect the collaboration, the ultimate collaboration of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Kyle and I were working on a sermon to give jointly together. And as we were working and finishing up our notes on Friday, he said, "Sammy, I've got this." And I said, "Why don't we just keep doing it together? Why don't we collaborate?" And he looked at me again and he said, "Sammy, I've got this." And the Spirit said, "You better get out of the way, Sammy." So today, I'm going to introduce Kyle Roth, and he's going to bring you our message this morning.
In Judges chapter 6 through 8, the story of Gideon is told. And that story, we're given a little bit of a prefix in that we're told that the Israelites have turned away from God and started worshiping a idol known as Baal. This is a false god that they worshiped way back in Exodus when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two stone tablets with the Ten Commandments on them. He came down and smashed them in anger when he saw the idol. So this is not a new sin to them. The Israelites are worshiping this false god, and this obviously makes God angry enough to take his protection away from them. Through this, a tribe known as the Midianites, completely disconnected from the Israelites, come in and take control of their land for around 7 years. In this time, the Israelites are completely unable to plant any crops or grow or harvest from any animals because the Midianites come in and take everything they have. And after these 7 years, God decides that he wants to free his people. So he uses a man known as Gideon. And Gideon has no importance before this time, but God decides to use him anyways. God calls Gideon, and despite him first doubting, he eventually agrees and gets a group of people of around 32,000 people together. God thinks this is too much and that they're going to put the glory to themselves when they eventually win. So God tells Gideon to send whoever home wants to go. So around 22,000 leave, so he's left with 10. After this, God tells Gideon to lead them to a stream where they'll drink from the water, and whoever drinks like a dog with no hands will be sent home, and that leaves Gideon with around 300. After this, his army has already been decimated. They don't have any weapons. God gives them essentially just, he tells them to grab some clay jars, some torches, put them together, and then get some trumpets. And they go to the edge of the camp, and together they take the vases, smash them on the ground, and blow the trumpets, and then yell. And through this, God strikes fear into the Midianites and uses this to turn them on each other and wipes out their camp. Another story is reflected in this way in Joshua. Joshua is going up against the city of Jericho with the Israelites. This city has very strong walls, so they can't just walk in and take it like they have in the past. Instead, God makes them march around the city for once every day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they march around it seven times, playing music the entire time in a very specific order of the tribes. On the seventh day, they all blow their trumpets and yell all at once. You can kind of see a theme here with trumpets and yelling. But when they do this, the city falls apart and God gives them the victory. This, you can kind of see the connection between these two stories when you look at the faith that starts it. The faith that Joshua and Gideon have motivates their boldness to act, and this motivates everyone else to join them. God starts with one person and combines a group around the one person. He did it with Moses, with the Israelites. He did it with, obviously, Joshua and Gideon. And he did it with so many more, including Jesus and Paul. If you continue this, you'll see that not only does faith motivate boldness, but boldness requires action. And action creates a difference that God uses in groups to change everything. Thank you, Miss Andy. This boldness is never isolated, and it's never used lonely. God rarely, if ever, uses people alone. When he does, for example, John the Baptist, John can't do anything if he doesn't have someone to baptize. God can't use John if he doesn't have someone else to motivate the faith in and bring up to his level. We can see this in other areas. For example, Paul, Barnabas, and Timothy are all used in combination to grow faith. Your Paul is someone that you model yourself after, someone you grow towards to become, someone who has achieved what you want to be in Christianity. A person, not specifically Jesus, but someone who you can watch, someone who you can mimic. Your Barnabas is someone that you walk with, someone in a similar standing to you. And your Timothy is someone that you mentor. So it's this loop. I've seen this so many times in our church, the boldness to act and the collaboration in growing our faiths. We have so many groups in our church, from the Moms Mentoring Group, the M&Ms, to the, I believe it's called the Silver Saints, but I might be completely wrong on that. We also have, all of us have our own growth groups that we're sectioned into. We also have the youth group and the young professionals. Everything we do is done in a group. When I was two, back in 2007, my dad had cancer, and he had to travel between Virginia and Arkansas to get his treatment. And my mom went with him a lot. So this left my aunt to watch not just my mom's five kids, but also her five kids, which is, from your gasping, it's a lot. This church actually came together and provided my aunt with many meals when that was happening. And eventually when my dad came back between that time, they came up to him after he had had a chemo treatment, and they asked him, what can we do for you? How can we help? And they started by doing little small things, and then eventually they decided, our basement was unfinished at the time. They decided that they were going to finish it. At the time, it was just some wires and some drywall, but at the end of it, they had a full bathroom, two full bedrooms, a big old room, and everything was done. All the walls were up, the carpet was done, everything. They collaborated to make something that my dad couldn't make beforehand on his own. They did that not out of any sort of selfish desire to motivate themselves, but they did that, sacrificed their own money, their own time, their own resources, to build something for our family that was going to last. And it still has. And every time I walk down to that basement, I'm always reminded of the sacrifices that the church has made, not just for people in our community, but specifically for my family. And that's not the only time that I see this collaboration to build faith, to build each other up. I see it all over the church. I have personally learned so much from members of the church. From Sammy, I've learned to always be questioning parts of the Bible. From Miss Andy, I've learned to always bring everything back to God in every scenario. I've learned so much from everyone here. I've found my own Pauls, my own Barnabases to learn. I've collaborated with Sammy, obviously, on this sermon, and I've collaborated with other people to do Wednesday nights, to do anything that I can. This collaboration is nothing without the boldness to start it and the faith to create the boldness. I don't think you can really sum this up any better than Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, which in summary says that
When three or more are gathered in the name of the Lord, the Holy Spirit is there also. When we gather, there is nothing done better alone. There's nothing that we can do that cannot be done better with someone to follow in our footsteps, even if we can do it perfectly. Jesus had 12 of them, even though one of them betrayed him. Nothing we do can be done better alone. There is absolutely, there's nothing. And that's clearly shown in the Bible. This church has really encapsulated that with our bigger groups. But I think that something important to always remember is that we don't just grow together. We have to study and learn in other ways. We don't just grow on a Sunday. The Bible specifically lays out that we need to find those people to grow with. You're not even supposed to only read the Bible yourself when not on a Sunday. Paul, Barnabas, they are meant to learn with you and to teach to you. This is so clear when reading it. And it's something that, one, I need to learn better, and it's something that I think a lot of people could themselves learn better. There's no better way to learn than to learn together. Thank you.